Hello, this is AJ welcoming you to Inside the Quilting Pot. Grab a craft, have a seat, and let's get started, shall we? Today is Sunday, July the 8th. This is TQP number 21, Too Many Projects in the Pot. Well, it's been a couple of weeks since I last podcasted. I am trying to get back onto a schedule. No particular format like I have had in the past. It's just getting a little more difficult for me. So I'm just going to babble along. The first thing I want to talk about is my Craftsy classes. If anyone out there takes Craftsy classes, let me know what you think of them. Right now, I think I have about 6, and I am enjoying them. I like the fact that I can play them anytime, come back and re-look at anything anytime, slow it down, pause it, stop it, restart it, start from the beginning, go back to certain areas, take notes while I am there. So I am truly enjoying the classes. So what I have been actively working on at this time was my block of the month. I am up to May, and the block of the month on Craftsy is a free class. So I've mentioned it before. If you want to give it a try for free, go try that. It is modern quilt block. So just to let you know, I have done up to May, and I've only done one of May's blocks. So right now I have 9 completed blocks. I am starting the second block for May. Then I have the 2 blocks for June and the 2 blocks for this month to do. And then I will be caught up with the group. It is a 12-month class, so I am almost there. Considering I just started last month, I think I'm doing pretty good catching up. The other Craftsy class that I am doing or have done, no, I take that back, that I am doing is the Stitch and Slash. This is where you take 4 layers of fabric and sew them at random places and then cut different layers, getting a different look. This is also a class that I am taking by Wendy Butler Burns, and I'm taking another one by her. And that one's called Stupendous Stitching. And I'll go back to that one in a minute. But the Stitch and Slash, of course, I'm kind of in love with batiks now. So seems like everything that I do right now is either batik based or has a batik in it. I am getting ready to start yet another project solely of batiks. And I'll come to that one at a later time. So let me get back to Stitch and Slash. I have layered my 4 fabrics, I have stitched them in my pattern, and I have slashed them. I have gone all the way down to my base layer on some of my sections of the sandwich, so to speak, but on some sections I have only gone down to the 3rd layer. So you see the bottom layer, which is a green, in some, and then the 3rd layer, which is a purple, you would see in some. I was debating on whether or not to cut or slash my fabric all the way down to the bottom layer in each area, and I decided not to do this. Sorry about the ums. But the way that she teaches it, the way that she teaches it is for a pillow top. So that's what I think I am going to make this into, is a pillow top. Right now I am quilting it. She has you use some of your embroidery or your decorative stitches on your sewing machine. You could do hand work on it. But right now what I have done was done some stitching, decorative stitching on it, as well as doing a little bit of quilting. Some you can see and some that is hidden. So I'll put a pick up And you know where I put most of my pictures is on my I Knit and Quilt Too .blogspot.com. You can also get to my blog at thequiltingpot.com. That'll take you to that site. So if you want to see what I'm working on in my pictures, or just shoot by and take a look to see what I'm writing, which I don't write very often on my blog, unless I'm podcasting, sometimes I do. But for the most part, most of my podcasting stuff gets there as far as the pictures. And when I have something really neat I want to put out there, I'll add that too. I'm not as prolific as some with quilting as well as contributing to the blog. So that is one thing that I would like to get better at, is blogging. But like everything else, it takes time. And I get so busy doing other things because I get easily distracted by shiny objects and fabric. So enough said about that. But anyway, back to Stitch and Slash. So the top is basically done as far as the design. I am, like I said, quilting it. And hopefully I'll get it completed and into a pillow by the weekend. I start work on Thursday, full time. No more playing around. I won't get any days off until the next holiday. And the weekends, of course. So I'm going to try to get as much quilting done in the next few days as I can. I've been doing a lot since I've been off, so I've been enjoying it. I could get used to being at home every day. You know, when you add up all of the time that I've been off, it's been a total of 40 days, with the exception of the 2 weeks that I had to go in, but they weren't real work days. They were just kind of signing in days. But I digress. This is a quilting podcast with a little fiber and knitting thrown in here and there. So let me get back to it. Next Craftsy class was my stupendous stitching class. I have totally completed that project. It is done, mounted, and hanging on my wall. So I am proud of myself. I do like it. It's not my color, but I'm growing, trying to get out of the colors that I am comfortable with. The background of it is an orange batik. Orange is not one of my favorite colors, but it's grown on me, and I like the way it came out with all of the different stitches and handwork. It's a piece of art. So I titled it, in honor of the class, I titled it Stupendously Artful. So, like I said, anything that I have pictures of, I'll post it on my blog. Another project that I'm working on or have completed and will be getting out in the mail tomorrow, being Monday, was my 8.5-inch string blocks for the block swap being hosted by Katie on Swapbox. So Katie, of course, you may or may not know, is Katie from Katie's Quilting Corner. I have four partners. Each partner will get four string blocks. So I started them in the beginning of the weekend. I have completed them. I have addressed the envelopes. And I will be getting them out in the mail tomorrow. So for my partners, if you're a partner of mine, you should at least get your blocks by midweek, Wednesday or Thursday. Or if not by then, definitely by the weekend. Once Saturday comes, I will post a picture of the grouping of string blocks. So I am so excited to get those done. I get to work on something else. Now, the 8.5-inch string swap is done using muslin foundation. That was one of the requirements, was the muslin foundation. And the other requirement was to use the Bonnie Hunter's technique for string blocks, in which the center diagonal, I think it ends up being a 2-inch strip when you measure it out. So when you sew on either side, I think it becomes a 1.5-inch strip, if I'm not mistaken. So that's what we are doing. We're using muslin as the background, Bonnie Hunter's technique. So when they all come together, they will be cohesive because they will all have that one little center strip that is basically or should be the same color. It's a pretty easy swap. And really, if you're a 1/4-inch, it's not really a 1/4-inch. You can't really tell. I like the fact that you don't really have to do any measuring or worry about bias because you got that foundation piece to keep everything in. And doing my blocks, instead of cutting my background to 8.5-inch, I cut mine to 9-inch. And at the end of putting all my pieces on, I took my 12.5, my square ruler, which happens to be a 12.5-inch, and squared my blocks up to 8.5-inch. So they are truly 8.5-inch blocks, not a smidge shorter or smaller or a smidge larger. They are truly 8.5-inch blocks. So I suggest if you're doing any blocks that are foundation pieced, always go up a little bit, at least 1/4-inch. I go up 1/2-inch because when you're stitching, it may take up a little, which will shorten your original size of your block. So I suggest that you go up in size for whatever block that you're trying to foundation piece. That's a little tip for me. And another little thing that I have started doing to try to keep my 1/4-inch seam a little more equal is when I put my 1/4-inch foot on, first of all, my stitch length on the Bernina comes up to a 2.4. I drop my stitch length down to a 2.0. The other thing that I do is I use a 50 weight thread because when you sew with it, it doesn't take up as much space, if that makes sense. And I'm using a 50 weight Aurifil, and I usually use a light gray, a medium gray, and a dark gray for my piecing. I've always done that for years, and I don't remember where or who I heard it from, but that's how I started, and I've just continued to do it that way. So basically, for my piecing, I have 3 colors: light gray, medium gray, dark gray. That's my piecing colors. And it's self-explanatory as to which one I would use for when. The other little tidbit that I'll give you that I do to try to improve my precision is I move my needle 1 click, so to speak, or 1 button push to the right. Hopefully it becomes more of a scant 1/4-inch. When I take it out, sometimes it measures exactly 1/4-inch, but for the most part, it becomes a scant 1/4-inch. Can't move it over much further than that because of my 1/4-inch foot. If I move it 2 pushes, it will hit part of the foot. So 1 push to the right for the needle. I line the right side of my foot up to the edge of the fabric, and that's how I do my 1/4-inch seam. So that is some tips from me. You may or may not already do that. And for those who are longtime quilters, you probably already knew that. But for those who are just starting, that's just something that I'm going to put out there for you to take or not take. Won't hurt my feelings, not one bit. Just to let you know, for those who are into sales, I was looking up something on YouTube, and I noticed that Connecting threads had, I don't know, in the right-hand column where they have like little extras that you can look at, they had a sale on essential thread. And I have recently bought some essential threads because it was a thread that Wendy Butler Burns used in Stupendous Stitches, and she liked it. So I thought I'd give it a try. And also, I think Katie used it or purchased it. So right now, they have essential threads at a 30% discount, which brings it down to about $1.74 a spool. And it is like a mini cone, so you get quite a bit on the spool. So if you're into thread, maybe buy one or two colors and see how you like it. I have used it. I do like the way it is. I can't really tell you what weight it is right now because I'm not sure. So I just wanted to put that in there because that's going to segue into a project that I am making out of dowels and pegboard. So dowels and pegboard. With my newfound love of threads, I am slowly getting as much thread as I am getting fabric because, you know, like anything quilty related or crafty related, you have to have all of the nice, pretty colors. So I have been enhancing my thread collection and I need something in order to store my threads. Right now I have them in plastic bins. I have them in the mini race car, matchbox cars, containers where you can have different colors on either side. So I was doing a Pinterest thing and saw a thread holder made using pegboard. So what I have done so far, I happen to have some pegboard around. I'm in the process of cutting my quarter-inch dowels into 4-inch sections, and I have left a border so that I can trim it out with some little trimming from Home Depot that I got. So the 4-inch dowels are being hammered into the holes of the pegboard. Going across there, I am putting them in every other hole, and I think going across my row is seven across. So the dowels are 4 inches because I can get my little mini cones on there, being the essential thread and the Aurifil, the bigger ones of the Aurifil. And I can also put my bobbin on top of my thread or below my thread. So that way I will always have my bobbin and my thread together. I am working on it. I tried painting the background yellow. It didn't come out. I guess because pegboard is so porous, it just kind of sucked up the paint. So I decided I'll just put in all of my dowels, then paint the background and the dowels all of the same color. I'll add my little pop of color when I go to put my trim in. So I am using some scissors right now that I have used in my basket making days. They're very sharp scissors to cut my dowel because I'm too lazy to go down in the garage and use my, saw. I can't think of the name of the saw, but when I think of it, I'll let you know. It's not a scroll saw. Jigsaw. I could use my jigsaw to cut it. It would go a lot quicker, but who knows? I just cut them and then I take my little sanding block and I sand the edges. Now, when I go to do the trim, I will use my jigsaw. I won't be doing any mitering of the corners. I'm just going to butt the edges up and call it a day. I've tried mitering with my jigsaw before. The miters don't come out that great. I've used mitering boxes that don't come out that great. When I had my tabletop saw, things worked a lot better. But I don't have my tabletop saw anymore. I gave that up to a friend of my son some years back. So all of my power tools that I used to have, my scroll saw, my table saw, my router and all of that kind of stuff is gone. I was into a little woodworking phase, so to speak, but I haven't done that in a long time. So back to my pegboard. So when I get it all done right now, once I get it painted a little better, I'll take a picture. I will also be gluing the pegs from the back as well as the front because they are a little jiggly. And then the tutorial that I saw, that's what that person did. If I can find the tutorial, I will put a link to it. I think I saved it on Pinterest so that I could give the person credit for it. I have it somewhere. I just got to remember where I put it. You know, as you get older, you got so much on your mind, you can't remember everything. So bear with me. I will look for the tutorial on the pegboard thread holder thingy. So I don't know what else to call it. That's it for my pegboard. So the next thing that I want to talk about is my quilting. My whole cloth quilting lesson from Leah Day. I'm still working on it. Like I said, I get distracted easily by shiny objects and fabric. So like you've heard earlier, I've done other projects that I've completed. Haven't quite completed hers yet. And now I am quilting my stitch and slash. So I had to take the whole cloth quilt off, or the little table topper off, in order to do that. So that's how that goes. The other thing that I have started was a crochet fusion blanket along. And it is done by being hosted by Little Miss Shabby. LMS. I do follow her blog. And what that is the use of charm squares back to back. Well, of course, when you sew them together, they're right sides together. Then you turn them inside out and then you stitch up the sides at near the very edge. Hold on 1 minute. Jody's got something he's not supposed to have. Hold on. Okay, it's 9 p.m. and I started this podcast 3 hours ago. I am just getting back. Lots of things have happened since Jody got into something. But anyway, nothing bad. We had to have dinner, then we had to go for a walk, and now we're back. Back to the blanket. The name of the crochet along is Fusion Blanket Crochet Along. And like I said, it's by Little Miss Shabby. I'll post a link to her her blog post, and then you can read how it all came about, because evidently this was done by someone else other than her, and she references that in the original blog post when this all got started. But anyway, I just wanted to come back and freshen that up or correct that just a little bit, the title of the crochet along. Now, that is what I am working on. I have completed 3 blocks with the crochet edges. I have 3 blocks that have the blanket stitched edges. And I have 2 blocks that have just been sewn together. I have several pairs already matched up that I have to sew together. And like I said, at the beginning, before I got sidetracked, you're using charm squares, you're sewing right sides together all the way around. You leave an opening so that you can turn it. You press it. You can either hand sew the open edge from turning, or you can catch it with your edge stitching around the outside. Once you do your edge stitching around the outside, then you measure 1/4 inch in from the edge, and you do another row of stitching. Once you do that, you do the blanket stitch around the edge, and it's spaced like 1/2 inch apart, and you use your second row of stitching as the the top part of the blanket stitch, if you know what a blanket stitch looks like. It's kind of hard to describe it. You really have to see it. So once you get your blanket stitch done, then you do single crochets all the way around the outside edge, and then you come back and you do a double row of double crochet with a space, and then some more double crochet with a space. You do that all the way around, and then you come back and you offset your stitching just by one, so you have like a little eyelet on both rows of double crochet. Once you do your two rows of double crochet, then you finish it off with another row of single crochet. Once you get all of your squares done to your liking, or however big you want to make your little blanket, whether it's a throw, bed size, or whatever, or just something to say you did it, then you take your blocks and you whip stitch them together according to her direction. For me, though, I am probably going to do a chain stitch for mine just to give it a little extra texture. It's a long, long process because you're talking 5-inch squares, maybe not even 5-inch squares. Now that you've sewn them together, they're like 4.5, 4.75-inch squares. So I think once you add the crochet part, it ends up being like a 6.5 or 6-inch square. But anyway, if you want to do yours, you can go in, take a look, see if it would be something you'd be interested in. Like I said, it's going to be a long project. Something that you can take along with you. So it's not heavy, not bulky. You can take it along in the summer. So you got a little fabric, you got a little fiber. Two things that I really enjoy. So I'm going to end this shortly. I am 27 minutes in now. I'm going to end it with a doggy update. First, I'm going to talk about Gizmo. And this happened to him a week ago today. Yes, a week ago today. My Gizmo is not quite 5. He will be 5 in November. And we moved from Northern Virginia down to Georgia. Now, a 6-year-old that was visiting last weekend noticed a red spot on his head. He was fine. This was like midday. His head was bleeding. So, if you don't like to hear about this, you can turn away now. But anyway, took him to the vet on a county emergent basis because I was freaking out. Come to find out, he had a hot spot. I've never seen a hot spot. Didn't really know what a hot spot was. My daughter told me that's probably what it was, but never heard of a hot spot. So I guess it can come up all of a sudden. I don't know if the heat and the bugs are a little too much for him down here because he's not used to it. When I took him to the vet, she said that the bugs in this area, the gnats, the flying things, the grass, the chemicals, kind of can bother with doggies' allergies. Gizmo has been allergy tested, and that's like $400 to have him allergy tested. And that was done last year, and he wasn't allergic to anything. But I guess this area has bugs and stuff and trees and whatever that we didn't have there. So now he is on an antihistamine twice a day, and I have some topical spray for the areas that was the hot spot. So they had to shave part of his top of his head so that it could heal a little faster so air can get to it. So I don't know whether my furry baby is allergic to the sun, if the sun is too much for him, or if I'm going to have to use sunscreen on this dog. I don't know if you can use sunscreen on him or not, but anyway, that was my dilemma with Gizmo. While I had him at the vet, I asked her about Jody because Jody's only 8 months old. And she said he may not display problems with hot spots and allergies to stuff here because his immune system hasn't fully developed. So he may luck out and not have this issue. So I have decided not to keep Gizmo cut short here because it's way hot and humid. And once his hair grows back, I'm going to kind of keep him long. This happens again, I'm going to ask the vet about sunscreen for the doggy. So I'm not sure if you can, like I said, but I'm going to ask anyway. Now, the puppy update. It must be his breed. He's mixed. Both are mixed with Shih Tzus. Jody is mixed with Bichon. Gizmo is mixed with Cavalier King Charles. Back to Jody. Bichons must be very active because he is always running, jumping, getting into things. He wants to play all of the time. He has discovered not only if I sit at the back door, I can go out and potty, but if I sit at the back door, I get outside. When I get outside, I can go lay in the grass. I can go chew grass. I can find leaves. I can find woods. I can look at the bugs. I can jump at the frogs. He is just a very, very busy puppy. I think I'm going to have to read up on the Bichon side of him because he looks more like a Bichon than a Shih Tzu. And Gizmo is a Shih Tzu, but he's very calm, laid back, and fluffy like his mom. Jody is more active and thin and just full of energy. It must be something that Bichons have that Cavalier King Charles and Shih Tzu mix doesn't have. I do know that Bichons are very hard to potty train, which, you know, we're still working on that. He is 8 months old, not quite an adult, but we're doing a lot better than we used to. So that's it on the puppy update. If you follow me on Twitter, I posted a picture of Jody with his lion. He's very cute. So I'll post that picture on my blog as well, and I'll take an updated photo of Gizmo and put a little pic of both of them up there. So those are my furry babies that keep me occupied while I am here in my new surroundings. So with that said, I think that's all for this podcast. It is now 9:20 in the evening. I am getting ready to go upstairs and relax in my bed and, you know, do some reruns of The Big Bang Theory. With that said, if you would like to leave me a comment, you can do so at thequiltingpot.podbean.com or at thequiltingpot.com. If you would like to follow me on Pinterest, Ravelry, or Twitter, you can find me as Nitty AJ. And if you would like to hear your favorite podcaster smile, please feel free to leave them a comment or a star rating on iTunes. And until next time, may all your seams be straight.